Before we leave the mid-embryonic stage of development and we leave this page, I ask you to be a bit quiet. Thank you. Before we leave this stage of development, let's go back again and now look at the other structure that I haven't said anything about. It lies in the midline, it's labelled yellow, and it's endoderm. It's cut off at the top here, so this would be continuous with the midgut going up here to eventually the stomach, and then the foregut and out to the buccopharyngeal membrane. So we talked about the foregut in terms of respiratory development, we talked about the midgut in terms of the loop that forms outside of the body wall, and this circle here is just demonstrating it's been cut off to make it easier to see what's going on, but it would be continuous with the midgut loop. Now, if this is the endoderm of the hind gut, then following it all the way down towards the tail, this region here, down right at the very end of it, where it touches the surface, has to be the site of the other membrane, which is what membrane? The cloacal membrane. Now, the cloacal membrane is intact initially and remains there for some time through the embryonic period, and it's only much later on that we see degeneration of the cloacal membrane. So this is endoderm in the midline, and we've got mesoderm either side of it. And the mesonephric duct, as it's elongated with the intermediate mesoderm and come down, attaches to and opens into the hindgut region here. Now in the early stages, this hindgut region, and this space behind the cloacal membrane, is the cloaca. It's a common space in which the mesonephric ducts have inserted themselves into sort of a dorsolateral region on the back of it. It's got the gut, midgut coming down, and if you remember from the top of it, it's also got a loop of endoderm that's going out into the connecting stalk here, and this is the allantois. It's on the anterior surface, it's a small blind ended diverticulum extending into the connecting stalk. And as we run this forward, you'll see that through week 4, 5 and 6, so from week 4 to 6, there is a process that occurs that divides the cloacal region into two separate anatomical regions. And it's in here, between the anterior region where we see the allantois and the posterior region where we see the midgut coming down, that we get a septum growing down within the mesoderm, and it splits the cloacal cavity into two halves, an anterior urogenital part. So this will be our bladder and where our mesonephric ducts are connected to. And a posterior rectal part, and this is where the midgut will be connected to the hindgut and coming down to where the anus will be. This splitting of the cloacal cavity is shown in this second animation, where in this case the endoderm is cut in the midline. Here's our cloacal cavity and the cloacal membrane. Here is the allantois extending out into the connecting stalk. And this mesodermal downward growth here in the midline divides the anterior region into the urinary bladder, where the mesonephric ducts are emptying into the posterior side of it, and a separate rectal component for the gastrointestinal tract. And we get a separation here with two components then of the cloacal region. Now, in birds, there is no septation that occurs. They've got a common urogenital region and rectal region, a cloaca in birds. Whereas in us, we've split the two into two halves. So this anterior region here, this enlargement, this is the urinary bladder, and where the ureters will be connected, the uteric buds come into it at the top, will form a three-way structure, and that is we've got the two ureters coming in laterally, and in the midline at the top of the bladder is the allantois going out into the connecting stalk. Now the allantois will degenerate and form a ligamentous attachment, but initially it holds the bladder anteriorly within the peritoneal cavity. But in the fetus, of course, in the late fetus, it will degenerate like the placental vessels into a ligament. This region at the top of the urinary bladder, because of these three elements, is described as the trigone, as where we see the entrance. The inferior side down here, where we see a narrowing beneath the urinary bladder, this region here is going to form the urethra. And in male and female, the urethra length will vary. So there's a short urethra in the female and a much longer urethra in the male due to fusion of the urogenital ridges together. So that's in the midpoint of embryonic development. This brings us now to late embryo. And late embryo, from 6 weeks onwards, we begin to see differentiation of that genital ridge region. And this is where SRY comes to play now. Sertoli cells differentiate, they turn on Leydig cells, and one of the other factors which gets secreted at this point in time is a hormone called Mullerian duct inhibitory factor, MDIF, or simply Mullerian inhibitory factor, MIF. It's got a whole series of different acronyms. It's all the same substance. What does it do? Well, what we start out with is exactly the same gonad. So here's our genital ridge here, and this will be our peritoneal cavity. Here's where the mesonephros was. Here's the mesonephric duct. Now, during the late embryonic period, adjacent to the mesonephric duct in the intermediate mesoderm, a second duct forms in parallel to it, and this is the paramesonephric duct, because it lies beside the mesonephric duct. And what are we going to call that one? We're going to have multiple names for it to confuse the members. Mullerian. Yes, we're going to call it the Mullerian duct. So the paramesonephric duct, the Mullerian duct, the same thing. So this structure that forms here is a separate entire tube system parallel to our mesonephric duct. And what occurs is in both male and female, we form both of these, a mesonephric and paramesonephric duct, and uteric system as well. And it's only under the influence of this inhibitory factor that the following happens. This paramesonephric duct degenerates and is lost in the male. So in the male gonad, we don't have a paramesonephric structure. It's lost entirely. So let's watch that process occurring here. This is the formation of the male gonad. Here's our genital ridge region. The germ cells have migrated into this region here, and the surrounding mesodermal cells will be differentiating into the support cells and sex hormone secreting cells. And they form these cords of cells from the surface, and these are often described in the textbooks as the sex cords. And we have a similar sort of structure forming in the female gonad as well. What occurs is that the mesonephric duct gives towards the sex cords of branches, a series of branches. And this is the beginning of the retae testae in this region here. And this will connect up the ducts with the differentiating regions which will eventually form the seminiferous tubes. So in the influence of the inhibitory factor, this entire duct system is degenerating. The mesonephric duct, on the other hand, connects up with our differentiating seminiferous tubules and forms the ductus deferens and the epididymis here of the testes, and will be connected into the inferior side of the bladder. When I talk about male gonad development, I'm talking mainly about a medullary development, and that is the seminiferous tubules lie in the core of the gonad. When we talk about the ovarian differentiation, we talk about a cortical differentiation, and that is the germ cells lie around the cortex of the gonad. So let's watch what happens in the female gonad in the late embryonic period, and that is from week 6 onwards. So without the inhibitory factor, there's nothing to inhibit the growth and development of the paramesonephric duct. What actually happens is that the mesonephric duct begins to degenerate, and so it is lost. And so this structure here degenerates, and the paramesonephric duct will proliferate. The sex cords differentiate to form our primordial follicles, and these will populate the cortical region of the ovary that will form here. The very end of the paramesonephric duct is where the opening of our uterine tube will sit directly over the ovary. So this is the infundibular region here with the finger-like projections sitting out over the ovary. So this is our uterine tube forming here. And what happens to the mesonephric duct is that it occasionally remains as a tubular remnant within the broad ligament underneath the uterine horns. And occasionally you can see a tumorigenic conversion of these cells that are remnants of the embryonic structures. This is the oophorin in this region here. So here it is, here's the opening of the uterine tube. So this is a late embryonic event, the differentiation of the gonad, and has to occur before any of the other events occur downstream from it. I'll stop there and you can go through with the tutors the differentiation of the gonad, and then we'll go on to the next page.